when a virus comes out and breaks out, like a coronavirus that's not normally super infectious to humans, that turns out to be super infectious to humans, it throws my red flag to say, what are we missing? You know, it seems like this particular coronavirus has been designed to go human to human very, very quickly. That's what tells me that this viral vector has been designed specifically to go like wildfire through human populations. And that's why you see such high infection rates. Is that the way a normal virus operates? Absolutely not.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Joe coming back, and he's a doctor of toxicology, as many of you know. And I had to ask him questions about this coronavirus. That's his expertise, and he's coming at it from a completely different angle than Sherry Edwards is coming at it. But he says this coronavirus, you know, totally two different ways of approaching this. And he's saying this coronavirus is not acting like a normal coronavirus. The infectious rate is too high. The death rate is too high. And that it, to him, it's looking, I mean, he doesn't have any proof on this, but just based on, well, the proof of how it's behaving, but he hasn't been able to analyze the virus itself. But based on that, he's saying this looks like it's a weaponized virus and that there's something significantly off with this, and that he does say that it is very likely that it's going to spread all around the world, and that we really need to hunker down and do what's right from a solution for ourselves and for our loved ones. And again, I'm going to bring up the C60. It is the best for helping with your immunities. He's going to give you different ideas on what you can do. If you have not seen the Sherry Edwards video, I really highly recommend you look at that, because again, she gives different ideas on what to do, because she's looking at the frequencies and what she believes based on extrapolating from what she knows with other viruses. Again, she needs to see the actual strand, but she's telling you what supplements you can take along with the C60, because there's nothing better than the C60 to actually let your body do what it is meant to do. And Dr. Joe explains that a little bit as well. And you can watch any of my shows with Phil and Max, or even some of my other shows with Ken the Scientist. There, I've done so many shows on C60 and why it helps with your immunities. And just please do what you need to do for your loved ones, because is this a big hoax and a big propaganda? It's looking more and more like it's not, because why would China behave the way it is? Why would they shut down city after city, their airports, their factories, all of that? I mean, it's too extreme to be a big hoax. So I would take every precaution that you possibly can, but there are solutions. We aren't just sitting ducks. There are solutions. Sherry Edwards has solutions. I know there's solutions to this. So please get some more information on that and look for Sherry Edwards' video. And please listen to this one as well. He talks about the HOPE project that he's running at the end. This is to help people get off that cocktail of pharmaceutical drugs that are just killing, again, your immune systems, not letting your body to do what it needs to do, Band-Aid type solutions. He's a doctor of toxicology. He's worked in pharmaceuticals. He knows what he's doing. So please listen to this in its entirety, especially if you have a loved one who could really help from a program like that. So let's get into this very important interview with Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe, thank you so much for returning to the program.
Sure, Sarah. Happy to be here. Glad you asked.
Well, you know, with this virus, you're a toxicologist, doctor of toxicology. This is your area. And, you know, talking to Phil and Max and knowing your background, it's like, this is, we have to get you on. I mean, with the virus happening and everything that's going on, I had to get you back on to give us some rationality as to what's going on. Because as we talked about before the show we started, I mean, things just aren't making sense. And I want you to give us an overview of what these coronaviruses are and what's just not making sense as far as what the media is saying and jiving with what a coronavirus is.
Sure, I can do that. I mean, coronaviruses are very common. You know, there's hundreds of different types of coronaviruses and in different species. And it's on the whole spectrum of viruses, it's generally not that serious of an infection. It results in like a flu-like symptomology sometimes, or a nasty cold-like symptomology. And the coronaviruses specifically, I mean, it's a disease that comes from mammals. You know, it's commonly found in other species like bats or rats or pigs or that sort of thing. And it can go from animal to animal to animal. And I believe the background on this one particular one coming out of China is it originated as a bat virus. And the bat virus supposedly lives in intestines, so it gets in feces. And then when these bats are hunted in the bat caves and brought to markets in live form, live animal form, their feces get consumed by other animals in the market, therefore going from animal to animal. And then when there's human contact, it can also get to humans. Now, the way that happens, I mean, mechanistically, and, you know, I don't like to get in too much of this because it kind of makes people's eyes glaze over and roll back into their skull. But mechanistically, these viruses can jump species because between the bat and the pig and the rat and the human, there are proteins that are expressed on the cell surface that the virus recognizes to bind to and then get transferred into those cells. And that those proteins are similar between the rats and the bats and the pigs and the humans and whatever other species that these viruses jump to. And it's those recognition proteins which serve as the entry for the virus to get into the cell and infect the cell that allows it to jump species.
Okay,
that's very, very rare. But go ahead. That's very, very rare. That's why you don't see these species jumps very often. And because it's rare and because it's a bat virus, when I'm looking at the media reports of all of these people, thousands and thousands of people that are infected, I think the latest is over 2,000 infections and maybe 80 deaths. So we're looking at about 4% fatality rate so far. But most of the people that have died, of course, are challenged. They're elderly. They're pre-existing conditions of some sort. They can't handle the respiratory insult. And they die of organ failure or some other complication because they have decreased organ function to begin with. So what we're talking about is a virus that doesn't normally get in humans, that somehow finds its way to humans, and it's going from human to human, which I don't think they've figured out exactly how yet. There's some standard theories, you know, but they haven't pinpointed that as far as I know. Please correct me if you're more up to date than I am. But something to me...
No, I think they're still trying to figure it out. One thing that I can correct you and up to date is they're saying that it's spreading faster than they originally thought. So I guess that's in line with what you said, but keep going.
And the fact of the matter is, I mean, viral infection is an opportunistic event in humans. And it happens when a human is somehow compromised, you know, immune compromised, or they got poor nutrition, or they're sick with something else, or there's something else that's not up to par. They don't have a good history of being able to fight off these opportunistic infections. And when a virus comes out and breaks out, like a coronavirus that's not normally super infectious to humans, that turns out to be super infectious to humans, it throws my red flag to say, what are we missing? And, you know, it seems like this particular coronavirus has been designed to go human to human very, very quickly. And that's pure conjecture on my part that just knowing how viruses normally can go from human to human, especially coming out of a human population or an animal population to a human population, the transmission rate doesn't make logical sense, doesn't make, something doesn't add up. And I can't put my finger on it, and I certainly haven't found any scientific evidence of it, but the fact that it doesn't add up makes you keep looking.
Well, and that's why I'm talking to you, because things don't make sense. You know, I had Sherry Edwards on that said, you know, she's a bioacoustic expert that said that it's not making sense either to what a natural virus looks like, and that because it's too perfect, it's pointing in her mind or in her analysis to a bioweapon. And are you seeing that too? Because it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense because coronaviruses generally come into the spectrum as, like I said, a very hard-hitting cold or a hard-hitting flu type situation. It's less clinically serious than SARS. You can remember SARS from, I think it was like 2006, 2008, somewhere in there. SARS standing for severe acute respiratory syndrome. So these viruses affect your ability to breathe, your lung function, and typically you're transmitted in, you know, somebody coughs in your face and you get secretions with virus onto your mucous membranes, and then the next infective process starts because you get something in your eye, you get something in your nasal passages, in your mouth, that sort of thing. It's that direct material contact that typically spreads these viruses. But now what you just said, that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being infected, that's what tells me something doesn't add up. That's what tells me that this viral vector has been designed specifically to go like wildfire through human populations. What does that mean? That means that somehow the genetic sequence of the viral instructions for life, if you will, have been modified so that it will recognize the human proteins, the human surface markers more quickly and with higher affinity than, say, a pig or a bat or a rat protein. And when it binds that human protein surface marker, then that infective process goes turbocharged, if you will, and that's why you see such high infection rates. Is that the way a normal virus operates? Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why we're questioning, you know, is this one big propaganda weird farce or is it real? But when you look at China, I mean, what country would act that way if it wasn't real? I mean, they're shutting down their airports, they're shutting down their cities, they're shutting down their factories, they're shutting down everything. They're in hazmat suits, they're putting people in like bubble things. Nobody would act, yeah, nobody would act that way unless it was a very serious issue.
And you see all of this in the high density areas where you have a lot of people in close proximity to each other. And those urban centers where if somebody was going to unleash a bioweapon that's engineered virus or whatever it is, you're going to go for your high value markets. And that's your urban centers where you have lots of potential targets. And I don't know if this is a bioweapon, but it certainly has the markings of one. And who's ever going to tell you if that's really the case? And if it is, how did it get out? Was it intentional or was it completely by accident? You know, you really have to do some good forensic work to trace the origins of where this virus started, where it came from. You know, they have a plausible explanation with the bat caves, the live bats, to the markets, to the animals, and to the population. But maybe that's the cover-up. I don't know. But it makes sense logically.
Well, it doesn't make sense, right? Go ahead.
It doesn't make sense that the virus is so infectious because that's not natural. And that's the key that says, look deeper here.
Well, and that's, you know, we're kind of in a situation now where it almost doesn't matter anymore where it came from unless they're going to infect more areas, right? Unless it's, you know, a vicious attack. We kind of have to be like, okay, and how do we take care of ourselves? And now we're into defensive mode. And how do we take care of our loved ones? How do we take care of ourselves? Yep. And how do we make sure that people understand how to deal with this? Because, you know, I mean, it's already out there. You got to deal with the problem that you have. And then we look into it and say, let's make sure this never happens again.
And what are they've said, the last I read, I think there was 5 cases in the United States. And I'll cover a couple of those. One of the first one was in Everett, Washington, and that's a suburb outside of Seattle. And just as a small world type of a situation, you know, my 18-year-old son is on a hockey team out of Central Washington and was supposed to play 2 hockey games in Everett this coming weekend. They've been canceled. Just no reason, no why it's canceled. It's just don't come. The games are canceled.
Well, my son's out there. My son lives in Seattle. So when I heard that, I was like, oh. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So who knows? And then, but as far as protecting yourself and your loved ones and your inner circle and then your outer inner circle and then, you know, your expanded circle, if you're in good health, you have a much better than average chance of beating any virus, including a run-of-the-mill coronavirus. The turbocharged coronavirus, you're going to have to take a few universal precautions techniques. And universal precautions are, you know, don't do anything stupid with in high density areas. You want to keep your hands washed all the time. You want to make sure that you're cognizant about the unknown surfaces that you're touching and who was touching it before. You need to be very hygienic. You need to make sure you're not rubbing your eyes or sticking your fingers in your mouth after they have been on these surfaces that you have no idea. You know, if you're doing things like airplane travel, I mean, airplanes make the world a very small place because you can get within, you know, 12 to 24 hours, you can get anywhere from anywhere on this rock. And that makes anything that's going on in the world a potentially local health problem wherever that someone gets off that airplane. So you need to be cognizant.
Well, it's the airports.
Yeah, people around.
Right? I mean, airports have people from everywhere in every part of the world, especially the major hubs, and then they go to everywhere in every part of the world very quickly.
And with coronaviruses in particular, you can have a coronavirus for 2 weeks before there's any outward signs or symptoms. That's the way I understand that. So you could be walking around as a contagious hotbed of infection for 2 weeks without knowing it. So now let's think about this. What have you done? Where have you gone? Who have you been with in the last 2 weeks? Without putting serious thought to that, for most people, that's a difficult question to answer. And now you add in the added risk of, did anybody that I come in contact with potentially have this coronavirus? And then that sets the stage for, oh my gosh, I could be exposed. What do I do? You need to make sure that your immune system is up and functioning and just as healthy as it could possibly be. And are there strategies to do that? Yes, there are. And you need to make sure that you're not doing silly things, which I've already talked about with hygiene. And you need to make sure that your diet is right and you're getting enough rest. And you're giving your body every chance and every statistic availability to heal in and of itself. And I tell you what, you know, I wrote the very first testimonial for Carbon 60, and that's Max and Phil. That's Dr. Phil and Max. That's their product, the Carbon 60 with the curcumin and the black seed oil. I tell you what, the Carbon 60, the curcumin, and the black seed oil all have antiviral effects. If you get online and type up PubMed, which is the National Institutes of Health record for all medical literature, and you type in that combination, you're going to see thousands of references, thousands of papers, scientifically accurate work of people in the business that show positive effects against viruses, against coronaviruses specifically, against SARS, against flu virus. And you see that these natural products, black seed oil and curcumin in particular, are very effective at warding off these viral infections. And when you're on C60, within a month's time, your immune system is actually 70% better responsive. It's stronger. It's able to take care of your body that much better if you have these tools on board. And I talked last time a lot about C60, but I don't really want to get into that again unless you want me to. But the fact of the matter is, can you set yourself up to avoid a viral infection? The answer is yes. Can you do certain things to avoid viral infection? The answer is yes. And that's avoid dense populated areas. That's keep your hands washed. That's if somebody is visibly sneezing and coughing, you know what? Take a wide circle around them. It's kind of common sense to most people. But in this day and age, with that sort of fear of the coronavirus, you have to take the extra step. You know, you see a lot of people wearing masks. Can that help? Yes, absolutely. Because that'll stop the moisture droplets of a sneeze, both coming out of the person with the mask and from general air transmission through that mask. It's going to stop some of it. It might not stop all of it, but it's going to give you a better chance. It's a barrier protective device. So those common sense things, along with the supplements that charge your immune system and actually have the natural products, the fighting of the viruses in and of itself, that's going to give you a better chance to survive this.
Okay, and what then, about, go ahead. I was going to say, what about the people who are have issues like lupus or are, you know, deficient, their immunities are already compromised. What should they do?
Well, because they're already compromised, they have to be extra, extra careful with what they do, where they go, who they're hanging out with, and know ahead of time what the risk of their actions are. Because they're already compromised, they need to take extra special care of their health. And if they're not on the supplements that can charge their immune system, they should get on them.
Get on them immediately.
You don't get it from most people's everyday diet.
Yeah, they got to get on those things immediately. Okay. Yes. And I don't want to scare people, but it really, really helps. And, you know, you feel a little weird, you know, pushing something that is like this, but it really is. One of the most important things you can do right now. Okay, so after everything that you've analyzed, what are your, I know you've already said a lot about this, but what are your overall thoughts on the risk of it, you know, going into other countries like it's happening in China? I mean, that's what people are scared of.
Is it likely?
Very highly likely.
Highly likely that it's going to spread from China to all of Southeast Asia, which it already has. And once you get a viral foothold in a population, it's going to spread like wildfire through the immune compromised and elderly populations. And then if the containment isn't up to par, when those populations are experiencing extreme viral load, then you can get jumping of that virus over into the more healthy human populations. That is the step that you really need to worry about, because if there's some changes in the virus, and this needs to be determined by the good work of the scientists doing mechanistic stuff on the viral genome, and what infected the first person might not be the same as what infects the 10th person or the 100th person or the 1,000th person. Because if that viral genome is mutating, then we have a moving target. And it's that moving target that's going to make the jump from the compromised individuals into the healthy individuals. And if that happens, we seriously have a big problem. But if we can keep the fire line where we control the population of humans that are infected with this to those that are already challenged in some other manner, it's easier to battle. It's still a very tough battle. And I'll tell you what, in lack of no better terms, it's going to suck for the people that are already compromised, that are up to risky things. And in those cases, You got to circle your wagons, and you got to do everything you can to make sure that you don't get infected. And that's, you know, change your diet, change your supplements, change your habits, make sure you're washing your hands, and really do your best on general precautions to avoid those viral infections.
Now, let me ask you about jumping to a healthy, you know, the healthy population. When they say 2,000 people are infected, aren't some of those 2,000 people you know, 4% are succumbing. They're, according, you know, the 4% are dying from this. Now, the 96% aren't those the healthy people that have it? Are you saying when it jumps, it actually mutates and becomes a stronger virus that can now hurt healthy people?
That's a good way to say it. What I think it's, it gets better at recognizing the human targets, the cellular proteins that are on the surface. And when you have more of a viral load, it's the viral load that makes somebody sick. Because
what's the viral load? Explain what a viral load is.
How many viruses are in each particular infected cell. So the virus infects a host and then replicates in that cell until there's more virus than cell, and it explodes, and then it goes out and infects other cells. So what you see is if the viruses can get across those cellular membranes because of the proteins they recognize more efficiently, then they have multiple cells becoming virus factories. And as those virus factories spew out that viral load, then there's more virus to infect more cells. And as more cells get more infection, then the cells will become like the cells die. Then as the cells die, the tissues die. And then as tissues die, organs die. And it's all about building up the virus that's there to make these endpoints occur, to make that infection more virulent, worsen the infection. And what you see is if we can get in front of that by stopping viral transmission or stopping viral replication, then we halt the progress of that viral infection in time to save the whole person. There could still be some damage that they have to deal with, but I mean, that's how they've gotten HIV under control, is that they found how HIV infected things, and they've got drugs to block that, and they found how HIV gets integrated into the cellular DNA and gets replicated, and they found ways to stop that. So somebody today that's diagnosed with an HIV infection can get on a cocktail of drug products, and they have those viral loads down so low that although they're infected, they can't find any of the virus because they got in front of that infection and they stopped it. And with this coronavirus, this particular strain of coronavirus, they don't know that the vaccines are going to be effective yet. The vaccines that they made several years ago for the SARS virus could be effective because those recognition cellular surface proteins are the same. So there's some similarities in that virus versus this virus. And that means that that the vaccines that are already created have a very good chance of working against this virus. And if that's the case, they're ahead of the game. And that gets them out in front of that viral load, and that gets them out in front of that viral replication machine. And that means that that vaccine could potentially help these people that are infected. So there's still some moving parts in how things are going to shake out, but there's some things that provide a lot of hope, and there's some things that make you say, oh my gosh, if it falls in this direction, then we have a very serious problem. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, they say they don't have a vaccine. I keep going back to Sherry Edwards because I think they got to get out of the box and look at other solutions if they don't have a vaccine. But if they don't have a vaccine yet, and if it is, now let me ask you a question. They say they don't have a vaccine, but if it's spreading, like we said, that doesn't look like a normal coronavirus, will a vaccine work if it's not a normal coronavirus?
It depends on which vaccines they test. And I guarantee you, in these types of situations and these viral outbreaks, they're going to take every vaccine that's known and do a quick test to see if this vaccine affects this virus. And if they get any hits at all, they're going to start there and see if they can make modifications to the existing vaccine to get after the vaccine or the virus that's infecting the population right now as a starting point, because that's faster than starting from scratch on a new vaccine. Does that make sense?
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. Let's talk about your Hope Project before we go here, because I think it's one of the most important things that are going on. Tell them about your Hope Project and what you're doing there. Because I absolutely love it, because we have all sorts of, it's part of the immune breakdown as well, with people on so many different drugs that are just decimating people's immunities. So can you talk about your HOPE project and how they can get a hold of you?
Sure. HOPE stands for Health Optimization Prescription Evaluation. And the gist of the program is that anybody that's on multiple pharmaceutical products and would like recommendations to bring back to their healthcare providers as to how they can change doses, eliminate drug products, or change therapies altogether to do the same things, or perhaps get on something like C60 and have their bodies pick up the slack where the drugs have been providing a band-aid for years and years and years. And then when the body is taking care of business the way it's designed to take care of business, we can eliminate those pharmaceutical products. The HOPE program is simply a way to provide people that think that there's no way out from multiple pharmaceutical products, that you can actually get an analysis and get some potential suggestions that you work with your healthcare provider on to change your life. And the people that I have helped through this program have been able to get their life back. They've had significant change in the quality of life through changes that their physicians were willing to make when they presented the case saying, can we try this? And in those cases, those people are very grateful for having had the analysis of their multiple pharmaceutical products done. You can find this on my website, which is superiortoxicology.com. Click on the HOPE program button. You can also find it through Sarah's website and through Live Longer Labs website or Pure Bella Vita website. So any of those four spots, you can find how to get to the HOPE program. And if you can't remember any of those, if you just type in Dr. Joe for HOPE on Google, I believe that one will find me as well. So if you need that analysis done, please send, fill out the questionnaire on my website, send me that information, I'll get back to it. And I have several of them already that I've been traveling extensively the last 10 days, and I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you yet, but it is in the works. So please don't lose confidence in me right away, but I'm definitely going to get back to everybody who writes to me.
Thank you so much. That's such a needed service. I am just thrilled that I'm able to have you on my show and help people through that, because I know it's very cost effective. It's only, I mean, your prices are something that people can afford. It's a lot less than they're spending on pharmaceutical drugs, for sure. Yes. What would be the typical price range for people to get started on this?
0 to 5 drugs is $150, and over 5, 6 or more is $250.
Very simple. Yeah, that's just incredible. That's perfect. Okay. You know, thank you so much. And I appreciate, and hopefully you'll come back as this virus starts to develop even more, and we can talk about and start to ease, we can ease people's concerns with solutions. Cause I think people are frightened when they don't know what to do. And if we can keep giving people ideas and solutions, I think that is the best we can do.
Well, I'll close with this comment, Sarah. In the last 10 days, I've been in South Georgia. I've been in Florida. I've been in Omaha, Nebraska. And right now I'm currently in Atlanta, Georgia for 4 days. And then I'm going back to Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. And then the guys in Puerto Rico are begging me to come back there. So if I can get on all these airplanes and still stay, you know, fat and healthy, then everyone else can too. It's a strategy, it's a lifestyle, and you just have to know the tools to use.
Now, did anybody, I got to close with this. Did anybody ever tell you look like John Goodman from The Big Lebowski?
Absolutely. I get that all the time.
I was saying he looks like John Goodman. I show my husband and he's like, he does. And then suddenly somebody puts a comment on, I remember him from The Big Lebowski. And it was funny. That's all he said in the comment.
It doesn't bother me at all. And actually, when I've been out in public, I've been asked if I am him. And
really?
My response is, well, do you want me to be?
Well, thank you so much. And you have an amazing day. And I look forward to having you back.
Sure. Absolutely. Happy to be back whenever you need me.